No matter where you go, people have a scary story or two to share. And that's my favorite part about meeting new people and making new friends. But it seems not everybody out there is a good person who has good intentions. It seems sometimes people run into some people who are downright creepy and are more dangerous than any cryptid or monster ever could be. Today I'm going to be sharing a few creepy and allegedly true stories of these kind, straight up from viewers just like you. If you have a story similar to this and you would like to hear it in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true stories that'll keep you from making new friends today. This happened to me about 5 years ago, and at the time, I had a lot of crazy ideas about life and was not afraid to say them. This behavior put me into a conflict with most people, especially those closest to me, like my parents. We would butt heads at least twice a week. It was usually my fault. I was not just a loud idiot, I was also a slob. Do not get me wrong, I bathed religiously and had overall great hygiene. I fell short when it came to picking up. Whenever I bought something, I usually wadded up the receipt and chucked it on the floor. Just sloppy crap like that. I did not realize how fast that stuff added up. Before I knew it, I could hardly even see my floor. And to be honest, I did not really care. Anyway, one day I said something very disrespectful to my folks. My mom slapped me. She had never touched me before, so I was a bit shocked. Instead of apologizing, I called her a stupid B-word. This set my dad off. Some more words were exchanged and he told me to get out. In my deluded brain, I thought this would be no big deal. I would crash in my car until I had enough to get my own place. Then I would never have to deal with their rules again. I had no earthly idea how hard this was going to be. I grabbed my laptop and took my junky 1992 Civic. I worked that night as usual. Afterward, I laid back down in my back seat and tried to go to sleep. The parking lot lights made it hard, but I eventually managed to doze off. Around midnight, a banging woke me up. It was a cop and I told him the situation, but he said I had to move on regardless. I moved on to the next place and the same thing happened. For the rest of the night, I hopped from place to place, being told to move on every time. I got little sleep. Finally, around 6 a.m., I caught a few hours in the Walmart parking lot. Later that day, I went inside the store and bought a few things, including a cheap sleeping bag and a blanket. I noticed I was starting to get a tad smelly, so I cleaned up in the bathroom sink. The cracks in my theory were already beginning to show. Even after my, bath and a liberal application of deodorant, I still felt dirty. I took another nap until I had to go to work. I was worried my whole shift someone was going to notice I was wearing the same clothes as the day before. If they did, no one said anything. I headed straight for Walmart afterwards. This time, I parked my car away from the lights. I was much more comfortable now and quickly fell asleep. Sometime in the night, a noise outside woke me up. I assumed it was a cop. When I stuck my head up, instead, I saw a person rummaging through my glove box. He must have not seen me laying in the back. I was half asleep and more curious than scared, as I should have been. I sat up and asked him what he was doing. This must have scared him because he jumped up out of the car and peeked down into the back. When he saw me, his eyes got big. He pulled out a knife and began leaning into the car. By now, I was squeezed between the seats. When I saw the knife, I grabbed the door and attempted to shut it. He got his knife-wielding arm in the door and tried to pull it open with another. I was fighting against this, pulling the door with both hands. This seemed to go on forever. I was about to lose my grip when I saw a flash to my left. Suddenly, the guy yanked his arm out and the door slammed shut. I did not realize what was happening until I noticed a second man standing outside and saw the knife guy running in the distance. The second guy walked up to my passenger side window and asked if I was okay. I assumed it was safe now and stepped out. I thanked him for chasing the man off. He explained he had been gassing up his car and heard the struggle. He turned around and saw the knife flashing through the windshield. The guy must have been spooked and ran when he saw him coming. He asked what caused the fight. I explained it was an attempted robbery. I had scared the guy and he pulled a knife. Then I explained the situation. He turned out to be very sympathetic. He said he had been homeless after a while when he left the army. What he did next, I will forever be grateful for. He offered his driveway to me. We are strangers, obviously. He did not know me from Adam, but he believed every man deserved a place to sleep that was safe. During the day, I was on my own. However, after work, I would be allowed to park at his home. That way, I would not be harassed by cops or worry about being robbed. I thanked him yet again and was almost crying. He introduced himself as Nathaniel. We shook hands, and I followed him home. That night, I slept better than I had in, honestly, a long time. I drove around that morning and thought about how terrible my life of freedom had been. I was on the road to enlightenment, but it would take a few more days to reach my destination. I would repeat the same pattern day after day. Wake up and take a shower with Nathaniel's water hose, drive to get breakfast, and hang out at Starbucks for the free internet, until work, go to work, and then drive back to Nathaniel's to sleep. Not until the fourth day did I go inside his house, and I never asked before then. Neither of us knew each other, and I did not blame him for his caution toward me. That fourth morning was a Saturday, about 7 a.m., Nathaniel knocked on my window and invited me in to have breakfast with his family. And I was a bit nervous to meet them. He introduced me to them one by one. They were all genuinely nice. We made small talk, and when we had finished, his wife said I could take a shower. I almost broke down right there. This woman that had never met me until this morning was treating me like a son. She reminded me of my mom. I was beginning to see how much I had taken my family for granted. And after my shower, Nathaniel and his wife invited me to sit down and talk. I was scared what they would say. I should not have been. We just talked about my situation and they asked what I had planned moving ahead. I was not sure, honestly. Nathaniel did give me a great piece of advice. He asked if I thought my relationship with my parents was salvageable. I figured it probably still was. He recommended I patch things up with them. He said he had a rocky history with his father. He always intended to reconcile with him, but he died before that could happen. He said he wishes every day that he didn't wait. Even if I decided I did not want to go back home, I should at least tell them I was sorry. I thanked them for the advice and all their hospitality. Later, as I sat at Starbucks, I thought about how I had treated my folks. It was not until that morning that I realized how lucky I truly was. I decided I wanted to go home. Not so much for comfort's sake, but more so for my parents so they would know that I was safe. At least that's what I told myself. That evening, I called them, my mother answered, and I made sure to apologize the right way. I told her all that I had learned over the last week, did not mention the knife thing, and did not want to scare her. Then I asked her to speak to my father. I apologized to him also, and said most of what I told my mother. Only then did I ask if I could return home. When he said, "Of course you can, you're our son, and we love you," I broke down. I thanked him for being a great father, and I said I was on my way. I know this story might not be the scariest thing you've ever shared, but I thought it was worth sharing.
This happened when I was in college, 4 years ago. I went to a university that was very close to an ocean on the East Coast. I made friends with some people on the weekend, and one guy in the group of people I met invited us to go out on his boat with him. He described his boat to a bunch of people, and was very proud to have it. It sounded like an expensive sailboat by the way he described it. Not really familiar with boats, and hadn't ever really been on one other than a cruise ship when I was like 11. This guy said his parents bought one for him, and that made sense because he was known to be a spoiled kid. He was nice enough though. And the idea of cruising around some Saturday afternoon and drinking some beers sounded appealing. After that conversation, I saw him around in school, but didn't really talk to him much, until one day he approached me in the library and asked if I still wanted to go sailing. I said sure, that sounded awesome. And he told me the following day he was going out on the water, and it would be a perfect opportunity for me to join him. After a lengthy conversation about how sailing works, and him assuring me it was safe and he had all the proper training, I told him I'd meet him at the docks the next morning. That night, my roommate asked me what I was doing for the weekend, and I told him that I made plans to go out sailing. He freaked out on me and told me he really wished he could go, and that I was sure that the other guy would be cool with it. The next morning, my roommate and I grabbed some coffee and grabbed some beer to bring along with us on our voyage. We ate some breakfast, and then we headed over to the docks to meet the guy. We were pretty excited, and when we got there, we followed the direction he gave me and found his boat. It was a huge orange and white sailboat. We stood on the dock next to the boat looking at it, when the guy popped his head up from somewhere and immediately showed a look of concern on his face. He jumped off the side of the boat onto the dock next to us. He looked at my roommate and then myself and asked, "Who is this?" I told him he was my roommate, he was cool, and that he had asked if he could come along. I told him I didn't think he would mind. The guy looked very annoyed, and it was awkward as hell for a few moments. The guy kept looking back and forth at the boat and then us. He took his hat off and rubbed his head like he was really stressed out. Eventually he sighed and said it was fine. I'll fast forward now to the part of the story that was scary as hell. A few hours later, we were on the boat, drinking and having fun. The water was pretty smooth sailing, and the sun was shining bright on us. The guy acted a bit off the whole time, and I figured it was because I brought my roommate. After drinking 3 or 4 beers, I felt the courage to ask the guy what was wrong, and if he was still pissed I brought my roommate. He responded with something along the lines of, "It just kind of ruined my plans." My roommate chimed in, with a smile on his face, and asked the guy, "What plans?" I could tell my roommate thought it was funny because it sounded like the guy wanted to be alone with me. The guy looked at him and said, "Well, because you're here, I can't kill him." This took me off guard completely, and I felt fear and unbelievable relief hit me at the same time. My roommate and this guy started cracking up, and my roommate brushed it off as a joke. I honestly didn't know what to think. Was this guy serious? Did I avoid being killed by this asshole? Is his sense of humor just that weird? I believe I got my answer when I went below the deck an hour later to grab another beer from the fridge. Next to his fridge was a brown swinging door that led to a small private bedroom quarters. I was feeling the beer pretty good by this point, and without thinking, pushed the door open. Laying on the foot of the bed was a big-ass cinder block, some yellow rope, tape, and what looked like a recorder of some sort. After seeing that, I felt sick to my stomach and wanted off that boat as soon as possible. I wanted to go back up and confront the guy, but decided against it, because of what he might have been on, you know, who knows what he was capable of. Could be on some serious drugs, or even worse. What seemed like hours and hours more of being with this guy, we finally made it back to the dock. We said our goodbyes, and on the way back to my room, I told my roommate about what I had seen. He couldn't believe it. I'm pretty damn sure that my roommate saved my life that day by wanting to go with me. And I kid you not, I never saw that guy again on campus. What he had planned, I don't know. And I really don't want to think about it.
Hey, Swamp Folk. Sorry to interrupt this upload, but I just wanted to do a quick shout-out to today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours' time. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There are a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room ever again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is always available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. I myself deal with bipolar too, and having somebody to talk to is very nice. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/swamped. That's better, HELP.com/swamped. Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp recently that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This is a special offer for Swamp Dweller viewers only, getting 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/swamped.
In the 80s growing up, we didn't have all the distractions that kids have today, so we had to make up our own things to do. Many times, this meant going outside, going hunting, or making up games. For our generation, our parents told us to be outside, but for us that lived in a small town, these activities were in abundance. There was one type of activity that almost everyone took part in, and this was riding some type of ATV or dirt bike. For me, this was one of my biggest pastimes when I was a child. When I was just 7 years old, a man on the highway was selling a YZ80. Now for me, this was an awesome sight. All I could think of was getting on that dirt bike and riding all day around where I lived. But my dad had other ideas. He thought I was much too young to have something so awesome. It took a few weeks of constant badgering for me to convince my dad to buy it for me. But in the end, my perseverance prevailed, and my dad bought it for me. I was so excited and could not contain myself. Now, I did not know how to ride a dirt bike at the time. The first time that I got on the machine, I popped the clutch, did a wheelie, and flipped the bike. Now, this did not inspire any confidence with my father. It took a little time, but I quickly got good at riding this badass machine. Luckily, I was able to use this open field to perfect my skill as a dirt bike rider. As my friends learned that I had a dirt bike, they started taking me around and showing me a few trails around my town. It slowly became one of our pastimes. We would do this almost every single day after school. It was one of my memories as a child that I really hold on to. There was one place that we went riding. This place was called Emmeline's. I never really knew the person or why it was called this, but there was an old, abandoned house way out in the middle of these woods. This old house had been out there for many years. It had a lot of good riding trails around it, from hills to creeks to wide open trails that you could really open your machine on. Most of the time, there were two or three of us that would go at the same time, but there were times that I would go out on my own. I had done these solo rides several times before this day. On this day, I could not go right after school. I had some homework from school that I could not get done at school, so I had to go home and get it done. I could not ride until everything was done, unfortunately, but I think most people know that. So it was later on in the day that I could take my daily ride. It was about 6 in the afternoon before I took off. Now, this was in the summertime, so it didn't usually get dark until around 8:30 or so. So I knew it would not be a very long ride because my dirt bike did not have any lights on it. I would have a few hours before I had to return home, though. Emmeline's was only about 5 minutes from my house. As I got on my machine, I could not help but put a smile on my face. I absolutely loved this thing. I loved to be on my bike. After fueling up the machine and checking it over, I put it in neutral, kicked the bike, and started it up. Now, a few days before, I had broken my clutch cable, so after starting it, I had to give it a push, jump on, and throw it into gear. This was no big deal. I had done it before. I got rather good at it. My dad had to order the cable, and it had not come in quite yet. Off I went, as happy as a young boy could be on his dirt bike. I got to the trails and immediately jumped right in. I'd been ripping up the trails for about an hour and not seen anyone else on them. I guess everyone had better things to do on that day. In the middle of the woods was an open field. This field was about 4 or 5 acres big, if I had to guess. It had a fence built up around it. The fence had been up for a long time. It was rusted and broken in quite a few places. But for the most part, it was intact and in decent shape. Like I said, I'd been riding hard for about an hour and had felt the call of nature. Since I had not seen anyone around, I decided to just stop on the trail and relieve myself. Now, I must mention that the dirt bike I had was a racing bike, so it did not have a kickstand, unfortunately. So, I had to stop and lean it against a fence post. As I was relieving myself, I noticed that it was very, very quiet. Now, I did not think too much about this, because I had been riding for about an hour straight. The dirt bike was pretty loud, so I just figured it was because of me. As I was going to the bathroom, I heard some rustling about 50 or 60 yards away from me. I looked that way and I did not see anything at first. So, I assumed that it was probably just a little squirrel, since they were everywhere out here. Finishing my business, I started to feel anxious for some reason. This heavy feeling came over me, like I was being watched. I look all around me. But once again, I could see nothing. The bike was only a couple of feet away from me, so I started walking toward it. I took one step and heard something start walking behind me. I immediately turned around, expecting to see one of my friends trying to sneak up on me. But to my astonishment, there was absolutely no one there. Trying to shrug the experience off, I walked to my bike. But every step I took, I swear I heard one step behind me. By this time, I was so scared, I did not know what I was going to do. Figuring the only thing I could do was run the few feet to my bike, jump on it, and take off. This had to be a seamless action, though, since I did not have a clutch to take off with. I had to kickstart the bike, push it, and throw it into gear all in one motion, if I was going to get away from whatever was behind me. Gathering up all the courage and strength I had, I ran. Jumping on the bike, kickstarting it, and shoving it all at the same time was very hard. Somehow, while I was doing all of this, I never stopped hearing the footsteps behind me. I knew whatever it was only a few yards behind me. Once I was on my way, I felt a sudden breeze on my back, like something had made a swipe at me and just missed. This scared me even more and put more energy and urgency into me. As I slammed the bike into gear, I gave the bike all that it had. I was shifting gears and sliding around every corner like I was a professional. I looked back once and I could see the trees moving, but I was never able to see anything. Even though I did not see anything, it did not take away my sense of emergency to get out of those woods. Once I made it back to the road, I stopped, turned the bike off, and tried to gather myself. It took me a few minutes, but as I did, I heard it. The most god-awful scream I had ever heard. It started out low, but by the time that it ended, it was so loud that I could feel it in my chest. I got that bike going and got home as fast as I could. It took me a long time before I went back into those woods, but when I did finally go back, it would always be with friends. This was a moment in my life that I will never forget.
This happened back in 2010 on Thanksgiving. For reference, I am a male, and I was 20 years old and had transferred to a university in Northern California to pursue a degree in parks and recreation. This was the first time in my young life I had ever been away from my family for the holidays, so it was a bit different. However, it was not all that bad. I had my roommates and some other friends I had met, and we decided on having a potluck at our dorm. Now, what should have been an evening of fun, food and games, would start off with something quite bizarre. You see, before we began dinner, which was being prepared by my roommate Damien and his girlfriend Samantha, I wanted to go for a run around campus. Hands up for those listening who like to work out before huge meals. Anyway, hopefully it is not just me and I'm not some weirdo. Anyways, the sun had just set over the horizon when I put on my running shoes and advised my friends I would be back in about 45 minutes or so. I proceed to head down the flight of stairs. We were on the third floor of the dorm, by the way, and I began heading north, toward the other side of the campus. Now when I got there, I proceeded to do two laps around the entire school. In total, it took me about 30 minutes, a little faster than I expected. The last 10 minutes were a cool down. Now remember, I crossed the street, since our university is in the middle of downtown, and I walked over to a convenience store. I recall my friend Damien asking if I could go and pick up some extra plastic cups and plates. I give him a call, and he asks if I could also bring some napkins. I agreed, and I make the quick purchases. But here's when things would change. When I exit the convenience store, and I am waiting at the streetlight, enjoying the nice quiet evening, I get approached from my left. I looked for just a moment, and it was just a homeless man, I assumed he was going to ask me for money, and I was even prepared to hand him $2 of change I had left over, you know, to spread some positivity and support. But I went cold when the man leaned in my ear and gave me the creepiest voice I'd ever heard. "Give me your wallet and your phone. Don't make any sudden movements." I remember standing there, thinking, was this some sort of joke? But then I saw it. I looked down for a moment, and I could see a sharp object. A knife. My fight or flight response immediately took into effect, but I tried to play it cool. Since he is literally within lunging distance, "Okay, let me grab them. Give me a second." The man lets out a chuckle and tells me not to make any sudden movements again, before backing up ever so slightly, presumably to allow me to reach into my pockets and give him my phone and wallet. This distance, which might have been maybe 4 or 5 inches, was enough of a distance where I felt comfortable in running and trying to get away from him. Just so you know, I have no idea how fast this man is. I have always been a runner myself, but you just never know. In one quick motion, I hurl the bag of cups, napkins, and plates right at his face, and with this distraction, booked it across the street. Mind you, the signal to cross had not come just yet, and there were cars still driving through the intersection. Man, looking back, I always despised how long that thing took. Anyways, I did not get hit, thank goodness. I might have angered some drivers, but hey, at least it beats being mugged. I continued toward the campus and looked back for a moment. I see the homeless man standing at the streetlight with a look of defeat. We had this 5-second stare down before finally he put his hands in his pockets and turned to walk in the other direction. I felt a sigh of relief come over me, but I was not safe yet. I booked it all the way back to the dorm, which required a fob key to enter the building, and it's not until I was in the lobby that I could finally catch my breath. A couple of students who had just gotten off the elevator saw me and asked what was wrong, and why I looked pale as a ghost. I told them what happened, and they agreed I had experienced something profoundly disturbing. Eventually, I caught my breath, and I called the campus police so that I could provide them with details of what had just occurred. They told me they would get into contact with the police department, but I never found out if they ever caught the guy or not. By the way, the entire campus sent out a text message telling students to remain in lockdown, but it was lifted 30 minutes later. I am still not sure if they ever caught the guy or not. I surely didn't see him again, and there doesn't seem to be any more reports of people being mugged. As for the paper plates, cups, and napkins, we ended up getting some from our neighbors. The rest of the evening went by as normal, albeit with quite a scare.
First off, sorry for my bad English. This story is 100% real. Here is a little bit about me. I live with my mom, dad, and younger brother. We also have a dog, and we live in the very rural area of Bavaria, Germany. When this happened, I was about 13 years old. We do not have any close neighbors around us. It was a very cold Saturday in December. I remember the day because my mother only worked on Saturdays. My brother, father, and I spent our afternoon watching movies. In fact, we watched one of the Narnia movies. It was close to 5 p.m. at this point. Since it was winter, it was nearly getting dark outside. The room was only lit by the TV and our fireplace. At one point, my brother looked outside the window because it started to snow heavily. We all looked outside the window when suddenly, my dog began to growl aggressively. He ran up and down the room very alerted. This was incredibly unusual for him to do so. My dad stood up and looked around, but he did not see anything. After a few minutes, he began to calm down again. We returned to our movie, and everything was fine for a few more minutes. Then he started doing it again. I noticed my brother was staring out the window next to our back door. I asked him what he saw, and he just shook his head. Then suddenly, we saw an old lady approaching our back door. We were baffled because hardly anyone comes out here, especially not an old lady like her. She looked to be around 80 to 90 years old, wearing one of those typical grandma aprons and a headscarf. Mind you, it was about negative 10 degrees Celsius outside. She tapped on the back door glass and started to smile very weird. Meanwhile, my dog hid under the table, whimpering and growling. My brother came close to me and my dad walked to the back door and opened it a bit. In a confused tone, he asked what she was doing in our backyard. She smiled and looked directly at us, not even noticing my dad. She took a step forward to the door, shoving her foot into the crack of the door. My dad immediately shut the door close. She glared at him, and then at us before she started to laugh maniacally. Then she just calmly walked away like nothing had happened. We looked at each other in absolute confusion, not knowing what to do or what to say. My brother and I looked outside the window behind us, but we could not see her. The only way in or out of our backyard was this small path next to the house. From the window behind us, we must have seen her leaving, but she never passed by the window. My dad stepped outside and could not see her anywhere. Neither could he see any footprints in the snow. There was absolutely no way the tracks could have been covered by the snow that quick. To this day, we do not know what we have encountered that day. And I don't know if this was anything paranormal or just some crazy old lady. It may not seem creepy to you, but to us kids, this was the most terrifying thing we had ever witnessed.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, which is very, very beneficial to the channel. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us and help the Swamp expand? Hit that subscribe button and make sure you turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a scary story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. I'd love to know down in the comments what story you enjoyed the most tonight. I'd probably say that last one was my favorite tonight. I really enjoy those kind of stories. Whether it was paranormal or just some crazy crackhead lady out there in the snow, something about people coming up to your house when you live in the middle of nowhere just creeps the heck out of me. If you want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I've got everything from mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and face masks for sale over there. Right now, I have an exclusive holiday design on sale only until New Year's, so definitely get that before it's gone forever. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. If you're on the go and you want to still listen to your favorite scary stories from the Swamp, you can do so by downloading them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.